Johnny Manziel?
The reaction in the room was positive. We knew we were going to bring him to Cleveland at some point, given the opportunity. So the opportunity presented itself, and we took that chance.
Hey, Greg, at what point in the day or in the week did the Browns decide we're going after John?
That's a good question. I'd probably say during the middle of the draft. We took the opportunity to take the players that we had and the order we had them ranked. And when the opportunity presented itself, we took those liberties. It was the one thing that I think that everybody was concerned about with us was what was the big plan at four? And in our minds, there was a plan at four. And we had an opportunity to do some other things. We took those. But as guys made themselves available for value that we thought was out there, we definitely made those leaps and those adjustments.
What made you – why did you like Johnny Manziel over – the other quarterbacks that were available?
Over the other quarterbacks that are available, I'll stay focused on Johnny. We definitely liked his ability to perform and make plays. We liked the guy that brought all the things that we talk about, play like a Brown. He was passionate. He was relentless. He played fearless. He was competitive. And we added a guy to our roster we thought could help us win.
Ray, what point in that first round did you realize that he was going to be there at 22 and you could make a move?
We monitored the situation. We thought we had a good beat on what team needs were. We followed the draft intensely. We made a good point of making several phone calls to try to identify where other teams may be. And as we met those needs or as we saw those needs being filled, where we thought he might go, then we made our play at what we think was the right time.
Mike, Manziel is one of the most famous people in the country. How do you deal with that, incorporating and trying to create a sense of normalcy in the locker room with a famous guy?
Well, I think when he gets inside the building, I mean, we talked about it at length when we visited with him, that what accompanies him isn't really him. I mean, he's a competitor. He's a great teammate. He loves to get in. He's passionate about football. So I don't think that comes into the building. That we looked at as an opportunity to add a tremendous competitor to this roster, and to, that what follows him for us was not a big factor in the decision.
What do you like about him as a quarterback, Mike?
That he fits. Ray already referenced it. He fits the play like a Brown mentality. He's tough. He's passionate. I mean, he's a gym rat. He loves football. He can process information very quickly. He can improvise, can make plays with his feet, and I think that's important in today's game.
Can you tell me what conversation sat down with him? What specifically did you ask him? What did you want to know?
How much does he love football? How much does he know football? But that's true. That's not just him. That's anybody that we get a chance to meet with individually. Those are really the two things that we want to know is how passionate are they about the sport. And then what's their acumen? How much do they know? What's their football IQ?
Can you talk about either one of you or both of you, what you mean by play like a Brown? Because that hasn't been very good the last 6 years.
Well, it's really a list of attributes. When we put that out there, we're not meaning the literally like that. There's a list of attributes that we'll attach to it. It's and the ones we've already mentioned. It's passion.
Competitiveness,
tough, mentally tough, physically tough, accountable, bundled up in that. It's a list of intangibles. It's not how high they jump. It's not athletic ability. It's a definition for us moving forward. So when we put a tag on a guy and say he plays like a Brown, that's the biggest compliment you can give him.
Ray, why would you take, say, Gilbert over? You know, you raved about Watkins, and obviously Mac could get a choice of either one of them. Why Gilbert in the trade as opposed to just taking one of those two guys?
Like I said, I thought there was an opportunity for us to improve our roster as well. There were other good players in and around where we were. We felt like at the time there was a trade opportunity, and in that we were able to secure some more resources for moving forward with the team and building the team long term.
Does it make taking Johnny Manziel at 22 as opposed to 4 in terms of the pressure for him to come in, play right away, expectations, things like that?
I don't know if it makes that big a difference. From our mind, the whole purpose behind taking any of these players is to drive competition on our roster. I think we stated that all along, is that we really want to add guys to this team that we think can compete to be starters at every position. And as we continue to improve our roster guy by guy, then that competition level will improve, whether it was 4, whether it was 22, 18. I don't know if it necessarily mattered. We just wanted a guy that we thought could compete to be a starter in this league.
Talk about what influence Jimmy Haslam might have in the draft room, and especially with a pick as important as a quarterback. Can you tell us what role, if any, he played in this selection?
Is that for you or me? Oh, that's for me? I'm sorry. Jimmy is just like what he's been the entire time. He asks a lot of questions. He wants to be involved. He'll make his position known like we all do. It's a very collaborative process. So the coaches have input, the scouts have input, the board's ranked. And nevertheless, there's several other people that are involved in that as well. At no point during the draft did Jimmy try to influence the decisions that were made. He was well aware. Obviously, he was in the room. But at no point did he try to push, shove, or dictate the pace of what we were doing. He definitely added some interest as his interest level behind the discussions that were happening, but nonetheless, he was allowing us to go to work.
Like, do you still feel strongly about not playing a rookie quarterback? And how do you keep Johnny Manziel on the sideline?
I do, and whether he was taken at 4 or going at 22, it'll be a competition, and I meant that when I said it, that I don't think you can hand jobs to people when they come in. So it's a situation where, despite what's around him and what's following him, and there'll be that pressure to play him, we're in the business of evaluating who will be the best quarterback for the Cleveland Browns to win football games, and that's who's going to play. That could be whether that's Brian Hoyer or Johnny Manziel.
Mike, you talked about the it factor about quarterbacks quite a bit. He seemed to be the guy with the it factor.
That's the reason why he was so. Why I thought so highly of him when I personally evaluated him. But having been a defensive coach, I talked about deferring to the experts, Dal and Kyle, in regards to the technical quarterback play. What I evaluated with all the quarterbacks that we visited was the it factor, the personality. And I thought his is at an extreme level. I mean, it's to the point where it's really created Johnny Football. I mean, the fact that he is all those things to an amazing degree. He's ultra competitive, he's ultra passionate, that he's a guy that he just finds a way.
Ray, did you enter the night thinking you'd be able to get a number one to move out of that 4 spot?
I entered the night being true to our process, is that we knew there would be interest at 4, and the goal for us was to make sure that if the player was there that we wanted, we would select him, and not that we didn't. We really just wanted to stay true to what we thought as far as the process, making good decisions, acquiring resources, and making sure we made sound decisions while there were players on the board that we would draft if we did move our position. At no point during the draft did we ever really focus on this is what we're given, this is what we're getting, and, man, that's going to cripple us. It was all about resource allocation for us.
Ray, did you think going into tonight that you can make 3 trades and still hang on to number 35?
Sure. I mean, at any point in time, I think that every decision that we made, it was well thought out and well vetted amongst a number of people in the room. So, again, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this was not me just sitting up there playing the man behind the curtain. There were several people involved in the room that allowed us to make the trades and make the changes that we made. So talking through those positions, having Pet in the room, having the owner Jimmy in the room, having Alex Scheider, Sashi Brown, the 2 scouts that I referenced before, Chisholm Opar and Bobby Vega, having different people in the room allowed us to make these decisions. So this was just not one person sitting up there deciding, let's do all these things.
Mike, how do you think Johnny's going to be received by his teammates? I mean, he comes in with, like you said, a lot following him. How do you think guys will accept him?
I think he'll be received well, because I think they're going to see a guy that's going to come in and go to work and compete right out of the gate. And immerse himself in wanting to learn it. I don't think he's not walking in the building with an entourage. He's walking in as a teammate. And I think that's when you've talked to the people at Texas A&M, the people that have been around him before, that once he's inside the locker room, that he's one of the most well-liked guys on the team.
Ray, how did you work through the issue of the fact that Manziel is 5-11, 3/4?
I don't know if it really had a problem for me. I get that everybody has this preconceived notion that the shorter you are, there's a problem or there's an issue. I would always contend that well, history says no one in the NFL has had success under this height or et cetera. The reality for me is that how many quarterbacks in history have ever really been given the opportunity that have been under 6 foot? So to me, the game is changing. How we look at the game is changing. And either you evolve or you get left behind.
Did the player that you originally wanted at 4, was he taken in one of those first 3 picks?
I can tell you that the way we look at the draft is our board was set. And then as we looked at those bundles of players, it was never just one name that we would consider at any one spot. It was who's available, how many of these names will be available when it's our pick, and the multiple picks that may be available that we like in that same range allowed us to make a move to where we felt like we'd still get the player or a really good player that we wanted at a different point in time.
Can you say if he would have taken Bortles if he would have been there for you?
I can tell you that he was there at 4, but we obviously moved the pick for future resources as well.
Out of your new cornerback right away. What's your experience with rookie cornerbacks and whether they can be impact players right away?
I think they can be if you handle it right. So there'll be some situations. That's why it's nice to have Joe on the other side. That you'll be able to help Justin out some. But we're very confident in his ability, and I've seen rookies that have been able to come in. But I'm confident in the rest of that group. Whether it's Buster, Isaiah Trufant, that we don't have to bring Justin in right away and throw him out there and, hey, you're out there for every snap.
Is it potentially easier for a cornerback to play right away than a quarterback?
I think so, just because of the degree of learning, the complexity of learning an entire offense, what all 11 have to do. I think corner can be you can really simplify it for him. But it is a lot to throw at a rookie to do that, but he's going to come in here and compete just like Johnny will compete on the other side.
Some people thought that there were some issues with his techniques. What did you see on his film, and what concerns do you have? I know he's kind of a converted quarterback from high school.
He's an exceptional athlete. He has elite man cover skills. And the shortcomings that we feel that were there, we feel are easily corrected through coaching. So that's we were thrilled to be able to turn the card in.
Hoyer's in kind of a weird position now. He's a local kid who is fighting back from a heartbreaking injury. Was there a need to talk to him today?
We reached out to him.
What was his reaction to what was going on?
As you would expect. I mean, I'll keep it private, but it's as you would expect from a guy who's a competitor.
I would expect him to say, bring him on.
That's what he said. Because I'm the one that texted him and reached out to him. But, yeah, that's exactly what he said.
Ray, you said in the quote sheet you gave us about Gilbert that tackling was good but doesn't necessarily need to be great. Can you just expound upon that?
I can. I'll take that one. In our system, we are not a lot of what people would phrase as a hard corner, where the corner is primary in run support. So when a ball is gone around the perimeter, that the corner is the first line of defense. That's very rare in our system. So our premium, when we list the attributes, we say here's what we're looking for in a corner: that press man coverage ability, the ability to eliminate a wide receiver and allow us to play 10 against 10 and do that with two guys and play 9 against 9. That is much higher premium than to be more of an outside linebacker type. So since it's further down the list, he was clearly our top corner, just because he fits our scheme. He might not have been the top corner for some other teams schematically that are more cover two.
Like, you were in New York with the Tebow Circus, right? The year he was there. Did that teach you anything? And if so, what?
It was a little bit different being inside of it. I think I was very insulated from it, so didn't really get a sense of the scope of it. But it's something that over in the coming days that we'll discuss on just how to handle it. And once we get Johnny here, it's something that I'm not going to say it's an issue or a problem, but it's just something that we'll have to address and have a plan for.
Factor in that Kyle has already been through something similar. RG3 was a little larger than life when he showed up on the doorstep, and also dual threat quarterback, and Kyle did a nice job with him.
Well, I think the appeal there with Kyle, and I've mentioned this all along, one of the reasons I hired him is his flexibility of the system that he could work with a quarterback like a Matt Schaub in Houston, and then go to Washington and work with RG3 and be able to adapt it. So I think that's one of the reasons that made this decision an easy one.
This is for both of you guys. Do you feel like with what you did tonight? I know you got two more days of this to go, but the moves that you made, bringing in Johnny, do you both feel like you gave this franchise a much-needed shot in the arm than it needed?
You want to go first or second?
The shot in the arm that I would rather give this organization is in the fall. We talked about that before, that talk is cheap. Hype is exactly that. We're thrilled that the city of Cleveland is abuzz about football. But we want that feeling to persist, and we want it to go deep into the fall.
I concur.
Does that do it, everybody? Yeah, Ray, can you tell us now what you thought about that Alabama A&M game in September?
What I thought about it?
Yeah.
I thought there was a lot of good football players. I had a chance to evaluate a lot of good guys, and I got a chance to see people live and up close to demonstrate their wares on the big stage. I think when you see guys in critical games and you see how they respond, and again, I'll give this nugget as well. A lot of why I go to games, college games specifically, is to watch guys on the sideline. Who does he talk to? Who does he deal with? What are his body mannerisms? How does he interact with his teammates? How does he handle stress and pressure? And you get a chance to see a lot about a guy between plays that most fans don't pay attention to. They're watching the ball while I may be watching a guy wander the sideline and handle adversity. And those are the moments that – to me, really make up guys that can go out and handle the things they're going to have to handle in the National Football League.
Excellent. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you. We'll
I'll take your last
tomorrow
one.
Tomorrow night, okay?
Go ahead. You can say it.
Was there a moment, did you see something from Johnny on the sideline during the game? Was there a specific moment?
I think there have been several opportunities where he's demonstrated his competitiveness, his relentlessness, and his passion to win. And so during that game specifically, there were opportunities that he demonstrated that, a mistake was made. He's not a sulker and a powder. He's not going to put his head down and wince about what happened. One of the things I know we've talked about privately, and it's no big secret, even with a cornerback, guys that have short-term memories and come back and keep going, those are the kind of guys that we like. It's like having a shooter's mentality. When you miss one or you miss two, it doesn't stop you from coming back the next one and knocking down two, three, four, five in a row. So he's demonstrated those wares, and now, like all players, they have to demonstrate in the National Football League.